Well, hey everybody, welcome to the Monday edition of the Panic Podcast. It's good to have you with us on this Monday. We enjoyed a little bit of summer this weekend. Now we're back into the kind of a coolish kind of spring, but that's okay. Summer is just around the corner. My name is Mike. I'm your online Bible study buddy, and this is the place where the Bible makes sense. Let's take a look at Galatians chapter 5. Verses 22 and 23. Here's our Monday verses for the next few weeks. But when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, He will produce this kind of fruit in us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And here there is no conflict with Jewish laws. We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. We have been for the past few weeks, and we've got a couple more weeks to go after today. The new birth is a new creation in the heart of every single believer. It comes about by a work of the Holy Spirit. It's supernatural. But the new birth is just the beginning of God's wonderful work in us. It is not the crowning climax of God's work in us. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell in the heart of every single believer in order that He might reproduce within that believer just that much of the character of God and of the personality of Jesus Christ. Now, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are for individuals, for the building up and the edification of the Church of Jesus Christ. The fruit of the Spirit is not the same thing as the gifts of the Spirit. They are two different works of the Spirit in our lives. And there are two or three lists of the gifts of the Holy Spirit located in various places in the New Testament. There's one list of the fruit of the Spirit, and it's right here in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit, just like the gifts of the Spirit, is for every single believer, not just for the pastor or the elders of the church or for missionaries or evangelists, but for everybody. Now, so far, here's what we've looked at. The Holy Spirit came in order that He might pour out the love of God into our hearts and enable us to live out the principle of divine love in our world. The Holy Spirit grants to us the joy of Christ and makes it possible for us to live a radiant and attractive life. The Holy Spirit produces the fruit of peace in our lives by continually working to establish and to maintain right relationships between a believer and his God and with all other people and with all the events that happen in life. The Holy Spirit seeks to produce within us patience, long-suffering, enabling us to be long-tempered rather than short-tempered. Because God is patient, we must also be patient with ourselves and with others. The Holy Spirit wants to lead us to be kind to ourselves and to practice kindness to others. The Holy Spirit wants to make good men and women out of us, and would constantly lead us in doing good towards others. And that's what we've covered up till now. This week, I want to consider the quality of being faithful. You know, of all the people on earth, God's people should be the most dependable, the most trustworthy, the most honorable, and the most reliable people. And with God's help, that will describe each one of us. The Holy Spirit wants to instill within us the character of our God. And because God is faithful and dependable, well, it only follows that we, His children, should develop that trait in our lives. Well, let's talk first of all about the faithfulness of God, because that's really the cornerstone of Christian theology, assuring us of His unchanging reliability in the midst of our very uncertain lives. And I want to quickly explore three key scriptures that kind of show us just how faithful God is in his character, his covenants, and daily mercies. And as we dive into this, I want you to reflect on how these truths can truly anchor your faith. First verse I want to look at is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. It says, God is to be trusted, the God who called you to have fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So in this verse, God's faithfulness is tied to his initiative in salvation. God is to be trusted, or in other words, God is faithful, the God who called you to have fellowship. So God doesn't just invite us to get saved, but he sustains that relationship. You know, in the great Corinthian church, rife with division, Paul was reminding them here that God's will is not fickle. It is, in fact, grounded in his dependable nature. And I think that this verse really challenges us on several levels, but the obvious one is, have you responded to his call? I don't know everybody who's listening to the podcast today. I know some of you, and you have, but maybe we have people listening today who haven't responded to his call. Please make sure you do. It's not an accident that you're listening to the podcast today. God is calling you. He doesn't stop calling you. So God's faithfulness means that after you have responded to his call to salvation, he doesn't just leave you. He does not abandon those he's drawn near. Even when we falter, and we do, from time to time we backslide a little bit. It happens, but God doesn't abandon us, and God invites us to trust his purposes. He wants to have a deeper communion with us through Christ. Now, another verse that is very interesting talks about God's faithfulness and his promises and his covenants, and is Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. Remember that the Lord your God is the only God, and that he is faithful. He will keep his covenant and show his constant love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and obey his commands. Now, this was spoken to Israel just before they entered the promised land, and it emphasizes God's loyalty to his promises. You know, unlike human beings who are liars and deceitful, and unlike human agreements that get broken or adjusted all the time, God's covenant, God's promises endure across generations. Now, of course, God's promises and covenants are often conditional on our love and our obedience. Yet his faithfulness initiates and upholds all of his covenants and promises. Look, for us today, the same truth holds in the new covenant through Jesus Christ. It reassures us that God's love can never be earned, but must be responded to, motivating us to be faithful in our walk with him. And one more, the third verse here is Lamentations 3:23, famous verse. Great is his faithfulness. His loving kindness begins afresh every day. You know, in the midst of Jerusalem's destruction, Jeremiah could write that verse. I don't know how he did it. I just imagine him looking out his kitchen window as he's scribbling this down. Great is his faithfulness. His loving kindness begins afresh every day. Referring to God's mercies, it highlights renewal and optimism despite the despair of the moment. You know, the book of Lamentations, it's probably not a book you want to read when you're a little depressed to begin with, but it is really a book of grief, but it at the same time pivots on hope in God's faithfulness. His faithfulness is not afar off. It is not stale. It is fresh every single day, like a sunrise or the morning dew. I don't know about you, but this encourages me during the rough patches in my life. Thank God yesterday's failures don't exhaust his grace. This verse too, I think it also calls on us to be to learn to depend on Him every day. Every day depending on the Lord, regardless of what's going on. And there are many more million verses that I could have chosen. I just looked at these three, but these three reveal God's faithfulness as a present tense and active thing. He's calling. He's keeping His promises. And His mercies renew all the time. Look, in a world full of broken promises, you can count on God keeping all of His. Great is His faithfulness. May His faithfulness inspire our faithfulness. Well, God is faithful, yes, but the Lord Jesus is also faithful. And you can count on the Lord Jesus being trustworthy, reliable, dependable, and honest all the time. It's a great verse in Revelation 1, verse 5. It's very, very profound. It begins in the middle of a sentence, so I'll just pick it up and start reading it. Revelation 1, 5, and from Jesus Christ, who faithfully reveals all truth to us. He was the first to rise from death, to die no more. He is far greater than any king in all the earth. All praise to Him who always loves us and who sets us free from our sins by pouring out His lifeblood for us. I love that. Our Lord Jesus came to earth to bear witness to the truth about God and about life and about eternity. He was faithful to this ministry. He was faithful to the extent that He steadfastly set His face to go to Jerusalem, though He knew this would lead to a crown of thorns, a cross, and a cold, clammy tomb. Because of His complete and utter faithfulness to the point of death, Jesus has been rightly exalted to the position of highest authority at the right hand of our eternal God. Look at Hebrews 2:17. Our Lord is said to be our faithful high priest. The writer of the Hebrews says this means that He had to become like His people in every way in order to be their faithful and merciful high priest in His service to God so that the people's sins would be forgiven. It's actually a very deep verse that deserves far more time than I want to give it here today, but a priest is by nature a bridge builder or a go-between. Our Lord Jesus, who came as the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world, was also the high priest who offered Himself as a sacrifice for our sins. As the faithful high priest now, He has entered into the Holy of Holies of heaven, bearing His own blood as a sacrifice for our sins. He is still our faithful high priest, interceding on our behalf, and we can count on Him to be there praying for us and to take care of our sin problem. You know, if you and I are to be true followers of Him who was the faithful witness and the faithful high priest, then we must let the Holy Spirit produce within us this exact same trait of faithfulness. So God is faithful, the Lord Jesus is faithful, but there are lots of faithful people, like the Apostle Paul, for example. Of course, he was faithful naturally, but he frequently acknowledged the contribution of his fellow workers in the ministry, and he praised them for their faithfulness. You know, Paul was a great missionary and pastor and started all kinds of churches, but he didn't work by himself. He had men who helped him, and they were rock solid, steadfast in their commitment to God and to His work, and they were faithful to Paul even in the midst of trials. Let's just look at a few here. Listen to this. In chapter 4, verse 17. Now listen. For this purpose, I am sending you Timothy, who is my own dear and faithful son in the Christian life. He will remind you of the principles which I follow in the new life in union with Christ Jesus, and which I teach in all the churches everywhere. So Timothy, young Timothy, is praised for being a faithful spiritual son, entrusted with reinforcing Paul's teachings. You know, Paul, he wanted to get back to Corinthians to teach them some more, but he couldn't. So he trusted Timothy to go and teach on his behalf. And Timothy was faithful. Now this faithfulness of young Timothy involved not only loyalty to Paul, but also loyalty to Christ's doctrine, making Timothy a reliable, trustworthy, faithful bridge between Paul and the Corinthian church, which was rife with divisions, as we talked about earlier. How about Ephesians 6:21, Tychicus? That's how you pronounce that, Ephesians 6:21, Tychicus, our dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord's work, will give you all the news about me so that you may know how I'm getting along. I mean, this guy Tychicus, he really is the unsung hero of the New Testament, but he was basically a mailman. He ensured that many of Paul's letters got from Paul to their intended destination, and very often at great peril to himself. He was a messenger. Paul was in prison, and Paul wrote his prison epistles to inform the churches how he was getting along during his imprisonment. And Tychicus made sure that these letters got from Paul to their destination. His faithfulness, I mean, it shines in his willingness to travel and communicate in the midst of persecution. I mean, he was utterly dependable in very practical ministry tasks. Colossians 1:7, here's another name you probably heard. Colossians 1:7, you learned of God's grace from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is Christ's faithful worker on our behalf. Yes, Epaphras, probably one of the founders of the Christian church, Colossian church, wasn't in the greatest of health, but he's commended for his role in his teaching and in his interceding. His faithfulness is tied to his quote-unquote minister status, but he served Christ by nurturing believers, even while laboring in prayer. And this shows us that faithfulness is not just talking about how faithful you are. It is active service. It's not just passive allegiance. And I give you one more here for good measure. Colossians 4, verse 9. With him goes Onesimus, that dear and faithful friend who belongs to your group. They'll tell you everything that's happening here. Onesimus, I remember, yes, he was the slave who ran away from Philemon. Well, he was a runaway slave. He'd apparently stole something from Philemon, runs into Paul in prison of all places, and he's now born again. He's transformed and now praised as being faithful. I mean, his story is an amazing one that illustrates redemption and faithfulness, which is available to all regardless of the past. Here you have Onesimus. He's a runaway slave and a thief, but now he's a faithful worker for Jesus Christ and for Paul. You know, there are many more that I could have chosen. I just picked a handful that came to my mind, but across these verses, Paul uses terms like faithful, dear brother, and minister to emphasize relational trust and spiritual integrity. Listen, you got to get this through your thick skulls. Faithfulness is not about being perfect, but about consistency in God's calling. Paul was not perfect. Paul was not perfect, but he was faithful. And Paul's helpers, they faced all kinds of travel dangers. They faced doctrinal disputes, great personal risks, and yet they all remained steadfast. They were loyal to Paul. They were loyal to their calling as Christians, as believers in the Lord, and they were faithful to the teachings of Jesus Christ. So let me ask you, are you that kind of person? Seriously, are you that kind of friend? Are others able to praise you as being faithful? Josiah Royce once wrote this. He said, "Unless you can find some sort of loyalty, you cannot find unity and peace in your active living." So have you found something outside of yourself that is big enough to deserve your highest love and loyalty? Have you found something that demands your energy, time, and effort? Listen, if you want to live the abundant life that Jesus talked about, you must find something to which you can be supremely faithful. Now look, to be faithful is never a bad thing, all right? Everybody loves a faithful, trustworthy person. And faithful calls for a positive and constant response on the part of the one who is chosen to be faithful. Faithfulness to God must always come first, before anything else, before anyone else. You must be faithful to God. Faithfulness to your family must also come before any other group. Faithfulness to your spouse is, of course, very, very important. Faithfulness to children is absolutely necessary. Faithfulness to parents is the only appropriate response for children, regardless of their age. We talked about that last Wednesday, I think. Faithfulness to your church. Yes, to your church should come before all other institutions. Faithfulness to your friends is indispensable. Faithfulness to the Word of God and to Bible study, absolutely essential. Faithfulness to your employer is very profitable, both to your employer and to you. And I'll tell you, faithfulness to yourself, that doesn't hurt either. But you must be supremely faithful to God. And if you are faithful to God above all else, everything else will fall into their proper places in your life. Your family, you know, your church, your friends, your Bibles, everything else. But you must be faithful to God first. It's very interesting to me that faithfulness is demanded in Scripture, whereas superior talent or unusual charm and cleverness are not. And I'll tell you something else. Faithfulness is rewarding. And you wonder how that's possible. Like, how can you, being a faithful employee, like, how could that reward you? Well, listen. Faithfulness is rewarding, first of all, to you because God notices that you're faithful. And God rewards you for your faithfulness. Well, to be honest, faithfulness brings you its own satisfactions and rewards, yes, but because faithfulness is recognized by God, the Lord will reward you for your faithfulness. And if you don't believe me, look at Revelation 2, verse 10. "Be faithful to me, even if it means your death, and I will give you life as your prize of victory." So the Lord notices loyalty, and he rewards loyalty. First of all, loyalty to him. Faithfulness or loyalty. Now, to be honest, it's a trait that you can find in a lot of people. Yeah, some people are just like that. It's their temperament. This isn't the kind of faithfulness I'm talking about. The faithfulness we're talking about today is a fruit of the Spirit. It is supernatural in its origin, and it makes a difference in your life and in the lives of others. I want to encourage you today to give the Holy Spirit the elbow room he needs to bring about the fruit of faithfulness in your life, and watch the difference it makes. Okay, gang, it's 25 minutes past the hour. Thank you so much for listening to the Panic Podcast today. We will be back on Wednesday. We'll be talking more about the Christian family then, so be sure that you're here. In the meantime, have an awesome day today. It's a little bit cooler than it was over the weekend, and to be honest, it's going to be a little bit cooler this week than it was over the weekend. But hey, it is springtime in the mountains of the mid-Atlantic region, so you know the routine. Not going to be too bad, though. Get on out, make it a great day today. And as I always like to say, be a blessing to people. Be a blessing to people, and you in turn will be blessed. God bless all of you. Thank you for listening to the podcast today. We'll talk again soon.